This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It's 10:33. Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Jim Huer filling in for Frank Cusimano this morning on assignment. He will be back tomorrow. Charlie Marlowe will join us a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk a lot of golf later on in the show. Taryn Schaefer will talk British Open with us. Alongside in this hour is Darren Atkins and also Brian Hoffman. We just talked a little bit about baseball just missing the boat in the All-Star game. Nationally, they just didn't market their players. It was all about Manny Machado. And also we talked a little bit about Mike Trout. But locally, guys, it's all about Mike Schilt. Cardinals made the move on Saturday night to relieve Mike Matheny after 7 years as the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. There was a lot of outcry for that, and the Cardinals made that move. I think it shocked everyone. Schilt's the guy now, and over the last 3 or 4 days, everybody's asking the question, Mike Schilt, who's Mike Schilt? Everybody wants to know more about Mike Schilt. I do think, and this is a little conspiracy theory in me, that this was foreshadowed a little bit because in the broadcast Thursday or Wednesday night, the television side, there was just a quiet little moment. They showed Mike Matheny, and then right next to him was Mike Schilt. And then all of a sudden,
Danny Mac said, "You're looking at your
he didn't say
soon
that
to be new manager."
But I don't know if it was Al or it was Jimmy Edmonds with him last week. But anyway, it was brought up. Oh yeah, and the guy there, the other guy is Mike Schilt. You probably don't know a lot about him, but he is a career baseball guy. And if you didn't know, he has the George Kissel book that was given to him by George Kissel's family, blah, blah, blah. They're talking him up, and I'm like, okay, why are we just randomly throwing out Mike Schilt all of a sudden where he hasn't been a factor or been talked about on any broadcast for the most part? And then by Saturday night, after another terrible loss to the Reds, Mike Schilt is your manager, and everybody's hopeful for a quick turnaround. I'm skeptical on that part, but it is all about Mike Schilt. It is all about the Cardinals here. It wasn't about Yadier Molina playing in the All-Star game. It wasn't about Michaelis getting named to the All-Star game and missing out, and now he's on paternity leave. It's all about Mike Schilt. And, oh, by the way, Mike, good luck. You get the flying Chicago Cubs for a 5-game series at Wrigley Field to start off the second half of Major League Baseball's second season. One, good luck, and also, wow, he just kind of got thrown to the wolves all of a sudden.
He does, and the good news is the way the schedule starts out in the second half, you'll probably by the middle of next week, you'll know where this team's going to go or where the front office is going to go. If this 5-game set, they lose 4 or 5 in Chicago over the weekend, I think that will start off a bit of a transition into next season.
Yeah, and here's the thing with this, and This could have been, if this team was playing better, this could be must-see TV, and it would have been more so the talk of the town. You go, hey, we got 5 against the Cubs this weekend. It's a chance to jump all over the Cubs. I think for me, if you're looking at it as a Cardinal fan, you're going, I'm very apprehensive that this team could get embarrassed real quickly. And as you pointed out, you lose 4 or 5, you go, wow, we're not even close to what we thought we were moving forward. So that is one of the things here with Mike Schilt. The other thing with Mike moving forward, let's face it, this is a perfect scenario for the organization to say, hey, Mike, we know you put in your time here. This is cost effective for us. We're going to make a change. We're going to give you your shot. And if it doesn't work, we're just out 2 months and we're just tell everybody, hey, we're going to restart at the end of the season anyway. You guys buy that as far as advantageous to the organization to make the move now and then go, let's just see what Mike's got?
They want him to get the job.
They do.
I think it's easier to sell that to the fan base if they already see him manage for a period of time. I'm not sure if the record plays into so much if he gets the job or not next year. I think maybe how some players respond. Like, if they lose 4 or 5 to Chicago and then start selling assets, the record's going to be bad in August and September.
Right.
But if they see some incremental improvement from, say, a Colton Wong or a turnaround from Tommy Pham, things that make you feel like, okay, he's working well with these players, then you're going to see him get the job for 2019. But if they had waited until the end of the year fired Mike and promoted, well, fired Matheny and then promoted Schilt, I think there would have been a lot of apathy from the fan base. I was like, really? You're just going to promote from within after what's happened over the last few seasons? But now if you see him and you get used to him and you realize, oh, this guy knows what he's doing, even if the results weren't necessarily there, maybe you get a little bit more buy-in.
That's Brian Hoffman. I'm Jim Huer. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box. In for Frank Cusimano. Charlie Marlowe has joined us here as well.
What's up, guys?
How are you? Chuck?
Sorry, I wasn't really late because I said I was going to come in at 11.
You're early.
So I'm actually technically early. It's been hashtag dad life. I got the kid on my own for the first time.
Where is she?
Uh-oh.
Well, now she's at daycare.
I was going to say, she better not be here with you now because you're in studio.
There's going to be a time where something's going to happen, and I'm going to have to bring her in her car seat and
that's
maybe
fine.
Sit her out there. Hopefully she sleeps when that happens. But she's all good. Doctor's appointment and then daycare. But like I said, this will be my first day and night where I'm taking care of her all to myself. I'm actually pretty confident about it. I don't know if my wife is.
Is she texting you at all yet?
Oh, my God. She's texted me
did
like
you do this? Did you do
47
that?
Times. So she has, randomly, she has a bachelorette party in Chicago for her sister. I'm also going to Chicago this weekend for the Cubs-Cards game. The second game Saturday is on Fox 2.
You taking your daughter with you?
Well, I actually am because my mom is meeting me there.
Oh, okay.
So grandma time.
Oh,
my mom
perfect.
Is super excited to hang out with the baby. But yeah, my wife, she left me a notebook with questions to ask the doctor. And then it's funny because I'm in there, the nurse and the doctor are asking me, how many ounces per day does she get? And I'm like, I don't know. She gets a bottle in the morning. She gets a bottle at night. I'm sure she eats at daycare. I don't really keep track of that. That's kind of my wife's thing. So then you really realize how little you know. You know what I'm saying?
It's an old reference, but you kind of sound like Uncle Buck trying to take care of the kids a little bit.
You know what? I feel like I'm better than Uncle Buck, but I don't pay attention to the, I don't want to call it minutia because it is important, but I just kind of know.
What's
if
your
I
name?
Have to give her,
JJ.
If I have to give her the bottle, I do, but I don't count the ounces because my wife just, she takes care of all of that. And I realize when she's gone how little I really know.
Well, just ask your daughter if she's full and then you're good.
Oh, she's great.
How much does she? Well, usually about one full inning of baseball and she's done for the day.
Right. I say if it's a Cardinals inning when they're batting, it goes quicker. So I usually let her nap for the first three innings of the game. But great to be here. I don't know if you guys, I was trying to listen as I'm coming in. And by the way, you guys broke the news to me on the Brad Hand deal. I immediately go to my fantasy baseball league, scoop up Kirby Yates, who I'm
smart.
Hoping is going to be the next closer. I'm actually playing Doug Vaughn for
That's
the next.
That's what Charlie was doing at the doctor's office.
Well, no, this was just about, no, because you guys said it about 15 minutes ago. I'm actually playing Doug Vaughn in fantasy baseball for the next 10 days. He has Brad Hand, so his asset now, I don't want to say it's worthless, but it lost a lot of value if you're thinking that,
right?
That Cody Allen is still going to be the closer of the Indians.
He's probably more of a setup guy. That's for sure moving forward. But
Brad Hand's a stud, though.
He is. That is the one guy a couple of years ago when the Cardinals went after Zach Duke. I said, either get Zook or go get Hand in San Diego. And people went, well, he's kind of young. And I said, no, he'll be good. And kind of they went with Duke, who's actually pitching better than our left-hander right now, coming off of out of the bullpen.
Cardinals, right now, who is your left-hander or left-handers? And that's why I think it was interesting, John Mozeliak, he used a term that Doug Armstrong always uses for his sport, which is hockey trade. You say hockey trade when you're actually trading rostered players from one team to another, not a draft pick. And I never heard that in terms of baseball, but John Mozeliak said that the other day when he met before the last series, and he called it a baseball trade. And that is if they need to trade a right-handed reliever to get that lefty right now, because you have Cecil and who knows what will happen with Lyons coming off the disabled
right.
list. But same with, hey, if you're looking for a bat, maybe a guy like Jose Martinez, even though we all love him, but probably makes more sense in the American League. And maybe if you deal somebody from the big league roster, you could get somebody back that makes more sense and is a better fit for your club.
I was laughing on Saturday night because I felt there was something of a microcosm of how the bullpen is unfortunately shaped up over the last year and a half or so. Was Saturday night, ninth inning, and Brett Cecil's on the mound facing Votto with the bases loaded, two outs. And it's like, this is it. This is what you signed the guy for.
Yep.
Here he goes. It's a six-run game, but this is the situation you wanted them on the mound for.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what Mike Schultz, how he works his bullpen, I think, guys, moving forward in the second half. What are going to be roles? Is he going to redefine it a little bit? We saw Hicks get the opportunity to close on, Sunday that he closed out the ball game. Are we going to see more of that? Is this where the organization says, give the kid a chance so we can find out if he's going to be our guy next year? Because we don't know if Bud Norris will be here next year. We may move him or something. You know, maybe there is interest in Bud Norris, and the team is just going to decide, hey, we're just going to sell it all off right now and get what we can to move forward. So I think that is one of the biggest things moving forward for this baseball team. One, this great series with the Cubs, which could be fantastic or it could be awful. And then,
or it could just be 2-3 or 3-2, and you're kind of like, all right.
Okay. We learned nothing.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
I don't think the Cubs will look at it that way. I think Joe Maddon sees an opportunity to stick it to the Cardinals.
To step on the throat.
Yeah, I really think he is going to look at it that way. He goes, look, we got him 5 here and we got him 3 there. Let's say we take 5 or 6 of these guys, of these games, and just put the hammer down on them. And this Cubs group, they won't come out and say it, but though they have the opportunity to come out and do it, and they're playing much better baseball right now.
I think this is fascinating as well. I was listening to you guys talk about Mike Schilt. I agree. I think, Jim, you said, or Hoffman, maybe both of you, that the Cardinals want Schilt to get the job. And I really do think that's the case. I think they fired Matheny midseason for 2 reasons. One, I think they actually wanted to move on from Mike Matheny. So if you fire him midseason, then if the Cardinals rebound in the second half, and maybe they get that second wild card, all of a sudden there could be a groundswell to keep Matheny. And I think they just said, okay, moving forward, it's time to move on. But then also you give Schilt an opportunity. I think it's fascinating, though, because if you want Schilt to get this job, if the organization wants Schilt to get this job, and I do think that's the case, don't you kind of have to give him every opportunity to put a nice record on the board for his 69 games, 68 games left? So even if it makes more sense for next year to trade a short-term asset, and I'm just talking about the guys who are done after this year. I don't think they're bringing Bud Norris back. That has nothing to do with Jordan Hicks. Just the fact that he's a free agent. I don't think they want to pay retail for a closer if they think Hicks could be that.
Why? It's worked every time they've done it, Charlie.
I don't know if you can get anything for Greg Holland, but if you could, it would make sense to flip him. But then also, are you taking away assets from Mike Schilt to try to have a nice second half of the season? And then Mike Schilt has a better opportunity to actually get the interim tag removed.
That's it's an interesting way of looking at it. It may all boil down to what takes place this weekend. If they're losing 4 or 5, they might just sell the farm and go, Norris is gone. Will anybody please take Greg Holland? You know, please. You know, maybe they'll go to the Dodgers saying, well, I know you need help in the pen. We'll take minimal anything for him just to move him on.
Bellinger.
I wish.
Seager, he's hurt this year, so maybe
bounce back next year.
Don't you think if you're John Mozeliak, you just wait until Greg Holland has one really good outing and then you immediately get on the phone that night. The second his inning is over. Hey, did you see what Greg Holland did?
Struck out the side.
One inning,
10-3 loss.
Couple Ks in the ninth inning there. We were down 10-4, but looking pretty good.
As far as the evaluation of Mike, I think one of the biggest things for me will be, can you get production out of right field, and what is right field? He's got to manage whatever right field is. Is it going to be Dexter Fowler bouncing back? Is it getting Bader out there every week or every day? I don't know. And I also think one of the big things is, hey, go fix Colton Wong. This is our last chance with Colton Wong. You're a younger guy who's dealt with the young kids. Fix Colton Wong. If he fixes Colton Wong, let's say Colton Wong starts, he bats 250, 260 by the time the year's over, and he gets his defense playing consistently every night, not just making the tough plays, but making the routine plays. I think that goes a long way. And then the final thought is, how does he figure out the bullpen? Regardless what you thought about Mike Matheny, there were many times that was one of the biggest question marks, is how he utilized his bullpen, how he utilized arms go back to like Matt Bowman, how he just kept running the same guy over and over, how they ruined the arm of Trevor Rosenthal by just sending him out there. What does Mike Schilt do in the next short period of time in those three aspects? Wins and losses go, you know, that's a given. But those three aspects, I think, are really important in terms of evaluating Mike Schilt.
I wonder, too, if you're just going to have I hate to always talk about luck, but in terms of injuries, you did have really bad luck for the first 90 or so games. And maybe you could say, okay, that's because they pitched too much, whatever. But either way, a lot of injuries. And if you look at kind of the different facets of baseball, Cardinals, really good starting pitching. And so maybe that takes a dip. I don't know. But the bullpen clearly left a lot on the table. And the same with the offense. So you wonder if just through some positive regression, do you really think Dexter Fowler, Colton Wong, Jed Jerko, Tommy Pham, who was great for a month, then has really dipped, don't you think that those guys might just find it anyway? And maybe they would have.
They're due. I agree with that.
I don't want to say the due factor, but you don't expect those guys to slump the entire season. So maybe they bounce back, and also with some new voices in terms of hitting instruction, maybe those guys just start to surge a little bit. And Harrison Bader, we'll see what happens when he was going around first base and fell. So maybe this is just a natural opportunity where Dexter Fowler gets a bunch of starts in right field and he starts to get going. The bullpen the same way. I don't know what we'll get out of some of these guys. Luke Gregerson, Bowman coming back, Brett Cecil, Tyler Lyons. But they can't be any worse. They can't be, any more injured. You're going to have more bodies at least coming back. So you'd have to think that offensively and bullpen-wise, they're going to be a little better than what they were the first 90 games or so.
Isn't it possible that the Cardinals can have a worse record in the second half than the first half, but play better at the same time?
I think it's
truly possible. Look at their schedule. Derek Gould mentioned like two-thirds of their games the rest of the way are against teams above 500, I think, is how it works out. A number of games against the Cubs and the Brewers. The 34 games against teams that are ahead of them in the standing. So I think it's quite possible that, and I think that might be the selling point of the Cardinals, of Mosiah Lockengersh, if they do end up hiring him with the record as worse, is the play was better. It was crisper. You saw fewer errors in the field. You saw fewer base running mistakes. And maybe that wasn't reflective on the record, but then that's our job to give him better players to then get that better record. I wonder if that might be the direction they go in.
How do you guys feel about the idea of trading some of the more longer-term assets? And I'm not just talking about guys who are under control for next year, because you hear the names like Miles Michaelis, who's here through next year, Marcelo Zuna, Michael Wacha. I actually think Miles Michaelis is the perfect type of candidate who might actually sign a deal, an extension with the Cardinals before he hits free agency. I know we don't see that a lot, but this situation, if you give him a nice deal, we know he's from Jupiter, he wanted to play for the Cardinals. I think that could be one guy where if you make it worth his while and it makes sense for the club, that he might actually sign an extension, if you want that to be the case, before he hits free agency next year. But the idea that's been tossed around a lot about Carlos Martinez,
I'm all for it, by the way.
You are?
Oh, absolutely.
I just wonder, though, if you're trying to win in the short term and the long term, and that is such a great contract for the Cardinals, to me, unless you're getting almost two top flight position players, prospects that I don't want to say are can't miss, but are pretty darn close, because you don't really have those guys in the high minor leagues. Maybe this Nolan Gorman will be that, but he just got drafted. He's 18 years old. But man, Carlos Martinez could be in your rotation for the next 5 years or so. It's a very manageable contract. And I just wonder if that makes sense. But look, if you get an unbelievable position player coming back, or a couple of them, I can see that. But man, I feel like you're really taking a big risk there.
It would need to be a franchise-altering trade in order to make it worth my while, the while for the Cardinals. In the sense of, like, remember the Mark Teixeira trade to Atlanta by the Rangers? They got Neftali Feliz, Elvis Andrus, and Matt Harrison, along with Jared Saltamacchia. So they got their future closer, their future middle infielder, a future starter who didn't quite pan out but still had some pretty good moments for them. It needed to be something like that, a move that you're looking at this saying, okay, here's our future middle of the order hitter, here's a future starter, something along those lines. I'm not totally against it, but it would have to be one of those deals where the opposing team and their fans are going, oh my God, we give up that much?
You'd almost have to get what they got back for the Chris Sale deal.
Yes.
For the White
Sox.
And I'm talking about Moncada, and maybe he doesn't become this fantastic player, but he's shown signs. I know his batting average isn't fantastic, but athletically he's off the charts. You almost need somebody like that who's a top 10, top 5
yep.
type position player in all of baseball that you can almost count on and say, all right, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, that guy trends toward being a number 3, number 4 hitter, an Oscar Tavares type position player prospect. At least that, and we're talking plus after that.
I said this about a month ago, and unfortunately it's almost next to impossible probably right now, but my choice was go to the Yankees and tell them, I got Carlos Martinez, I'll give you Colton Wong, you got to take Fowler, you give me Gleyber Torres. You got yourself a closer,
wow.
You got yourself a second baseman to replace, you got a veteran outfielder that can play any of the positions who will probably get better in your spot than he is here. And the Cardinals get that middle of the order can't miss bat that they don't have anywhere in this organization that could help. You throw them in there right now, they automatically get better with Ozuna and Torres in the middle of that lineup. Now, Torres has been lights out for the last month, so it's going to be tougher to maybe make that sale. But the Yankees aren't going to win unless they get another top flight starter. They're not going to beat the Red Sox or the Astros. Both, if they in the playoffs, unless they get another top flight starter,
and you're getting Carlos Martinez on a manageable contract mm-hmm. through his absolute prime years. I believe it's age 31. It's a really, really good contract. No, that's a nice deal right there. Where if you know you're getting a Gleyber Torres, okay, I'm certainly listening. And I say that also because look at the last 5+ years, and we all know what happened with Oscar Tavares. It was a tragedy. Just from a life perspective, but also
right.
when you look at it from a baseball perspective, that was their can't-miss position player prospect, and we'll never know what would have happened right there. But I have a ton of confidence in the Cardinals drafting and developing pitching. They've
yes.
been able to do that basically forever.
Mm-hmm.
Position player-wise, whether it's bad luck, what happened with Tavares, or just missing on some guys, the fact they're always contending and maybe they're not getting the high draft picks, you look at this team right now, how many of the impact position players came up through the system? And I'm talking more recently. Of course, Yadier Molina, but he's my age. Matt Carpenter, that was a while mm-hmm. back. Some of the guys like Colton Wong, Stephen Piscotty, Randall Grichuk, I know that was a trade, but we're talking about some of these position players we thought were going to be impact-type guys coming through the system for a while, and a lot of those guys didn't really pan out. Even Tommy Pham, who was great last year, and we're talking about a guy who was drafted, what, 10, 12 years ago. In the last three, four, or 5 years, we haven't seen a lot of great position players coming up through the system.
That's what they need. They need, and I had some numbers here because I sat down and went through this. The number 3 hitter in this lineup, I think, is the need right now because you picked up Ozuna. He hasn't been outstanding, but he's been serviceable.
He'll also, if you remember what happened in the first couple weeks of June, I believe Ozuna hit 7 bombs in about 14 or 15 days. He's going to do that again. At least one
yeah,
more time
close.
In the second half, he's going to get hot and hit 6 to 8 home runs in a 17-game span.
The Cardinals' number 3 hitter right now is batting .237. That's horrible for a number 3 hitter. Last year, the number 3 hitter, .246. That's terrible. In 2016, .235. You have to go back to 2015 when the number 3 hitter in the Cardinals lineup had some good numbers. Overall, .277, 79 RBIs, and 14 home runs. This year, they're on pace to have 22 homers, just 91 RBIs. Again, batting .237. The slug right now is just .392. That's not good enough, and it's not going to get any better with anybody you got on the roster. So they need to go outside the organization, address that. That's why I brought up the name Torres, just because he is a can't-miss. And you need to go get that type of player if you really want to believe that you're going to be able to contend with a team like the Cubs quickly. You have a lot of pitching, as you pointed out, Charlie.
And you always
down in
do.
The minors. Yeah, and we got guys sitting down there right now that could probably pitch up there with Dakota Hudson and all that. They'll be contributing next year.
Gomber, guys like that.
I don't know what the deal is with Reyes, if he'll be close to what we thought he was when he comes back. But so many young arms. And if you look at Carlos Martinez, unbelievable stuff. Been waiting for him, and he started to put it together. But in terms of a big game pitcher with the Cardinals so far, do you go, well, we throw him out there every day we're going to win. Not really. He's a 500 pitcher overall. Now, I know some people overrate wins and losses, but he's not going out there and dominating like a John Lester is, say, for the Cubs, where Lester goes, you go, Cubs are going to win today. Doesn't matter who's throwing against
him. Yeah, he hasn't become that. There's only a few guys like this, but the Scherzers, when healthy, Kershaw, DeGrom, you almost, and look, it doesn't happen every night, but you feel really, really good about getting a win or getting a seven-inning, one earned run or two earned run or less performance with seven or eight strikeouts.
Right.
And I feel like, although you know the upside is certainly there with Carlos, when he pitches, I do think you're kind of looking more like, oh, we'll see what happens. He's been better lately, but I don't think you look at him as that absolute stud ace yet, that top five Cy Young Award type pitcher, although he certainly has that capability. You'd think he has that talent and that upside.
And they've been telling us that since he showed up here. And there's a little bit going on between the ears sometimes where you're going, I don't know if he's ever going to get there.
Jim Huer, Charlie Marlow, Brian Hoffman, the Peoria Plowboy, Darren Atkins. Do we have any more commercials, reads to get to before we hit the break? Hoff, because we do have on the other side,
yes,
Andrew Kaufman, sports director, KMIZ, ABC 17 in Columbia, driving back as we speak. I just texted with him from Atlanta, an SEC Media Day, so we'll get an update and we'll get the pulse of SEC Media Days after the break, Hoff, but first,
a word from McBride & Son. If you buy a new McBride home, you get your independence this July with incredible savings on a new home. This July, when you buy a new McBride home, get $8,000 off the base price during McBride's Independence Sale. And since McBride is celebrating 72 years building St. Louis, they have selected 72 exclusive inventory homes that have explosive discounts and the hottest prices you've ever seen. I'm talking discounts of over $130,000 on some homes. McBride's Independence Sale is only good through July 31st, so there's no time to waste. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details and also show content brought to you by the Bomarito Automotive Group. Check out their online inventory 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Bomarito.com.
Hollywood Casino Press Box will return about CC Media Days with Andrew Kaufman, sports director, KMIZ, ABC 17 in Columbia. We'll talk about Barry Odom, Drew Locke, and the Missouri Tigers next on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.